بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who is sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today inshallah we will continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the title of the class today is Suffering of the Prophet and Early Muslims. Actually, 3 years had passed after the first revelation of the Holy Quran on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Archangel Jibreel. During these 3 years, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling the people to Islam secretly in order to avoid the confrontation with the leaders of his tribe, Quraysh. One day, Archangel Jibreel came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ordered him to start preaching openly to everyone. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people of Mecca that he had something very important to tell them. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on a hillside in Mecca called As-Safa. It is like a mountain, because he wants everyone to know about his message. And the people gathered around to hear what he had to say. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started by asking them if they would believe him regarding any army that was about to attack them. You know, what is the meaning of this question? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to his people that, are you ready to believe me, okay, regarding, even if you will be exposed, you know, to an army, regarding an army that was about to attack them? This means that he is checking them, they believe he is a liar or he is telling the truth. So he is telling them, if I come and tell you there is an army that is about to attack you, you will believe me or you will not believe me? So they answered that they would believe him as he never lied. Okay, he wants at the beginning, you know, to feel that they believe in him, you know. So he asked them this question and they said that they believed him. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told them that he was the messenger of Allah, okay, sent to show them the right way, okay. So one of the Prophet's uncles, this is actually Abu Lahab, a man called Abu Lahab, he is the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there is a chapter in the Quran about that man. Okay, as soon as Abu Lahab heard that Prophet Muhammad announced his message of Islam, immediately he was among the listeners, he stood up and said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may you perish, did you call us here just to tell us this? Okay, what is the meaning of this? What is the importance of this? Okay, at this, Allah sent to the Prophet the chapter of the Quran which is related to that man. We will read now the chapter of the Quran related to Abu Lahab so that we will know how Allah is preparing for him the greatest punishment, as he was against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from day one, and he was showing him painful treatment all the time and the harsh treatment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So now inshallah we will recite surah number 111, Surah Al-Masad. Okay, and actually in Arabic it is Al-Masad, and Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Masad in English means a robe of twisted fiber, which will be actually a robe of fire around the neck of the wife of Abu Lahab, as we will learn now. Let us first recite the surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب فيصلى نارا ذات لهب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. May the hand of Abu Lahab be ruined, and ruined is he. His wealth would not avail him, or that which he gained. He will enter to burn in a fire of blazing flame, and his wife as well, the carrier of firewood. Around her neck is a rope of twisted fiber.
So actually, sister, this is the answer of Allah the Almighty to Abu Lahab regarding the words which he said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may you perish. So Allah the Almighty sent to him that may your hands be perish and may you be perish. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah and you are the enemy of Allah, so Allah is sending to you this message of revenge. Okay, Allah is clarifying that his wealth will not avail him, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, regarding his final destination in a fire of blazing flame. And also his wife, the carrier of the firewood, and around her neck will be a robe of twisted fire from twisted fiber from fire. So this is the message of Allah to these two people because they were the enemies of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His wife always put the trash in his way, and she was always against him, and she was trying to make the life of the Prophet difficult. So Allah the Almighty took the revenge for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from these two enemies, and from since 1435 years when the Quran was first revealed on Prophet Muhammad and this surah was revealed until the Day of Judgment, every Muslim all over the world who will recite the Holy Quran will say to Abu Lahab, perish on you Abu Lahab, perish on you Abu Lahab, and you will be in the fire. Okay, so Allah the Almighty is teaching us, sisters, that if we believe in Allah, don't take revenge from your enemies. Just leave them to Allah. Raise your hands to Allah and say to Allah, they are trying to harm me as Abu Lahab was harming Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah, take revenge from them as it happened with Abu Lahab. But actually this is a very effective dua. Allah knows what will happen to your enemies. You must be sure that they are your enemies and they deserve that supplication. Okay, otherwise, okay, I will finish on that. So, all the time, remember Abu Lahab, remember the revenge of Allah from Abu Lahab, remember that Allah can take the revenge from everyone, and remember that Allah never leaves Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alone. He is always supporting him with the verses of the Quran so that he can continue his way to call on Allah while most of the people were against him. You have a question.
I wanted to know if Abu Lahab ever converted to Islam after, or if he never embraced Islam.
Abu Lahab, as I know, he never reverted to Islam, because if he already had reverted to Islam, Allah will not send this verse, this chapter of the Quran to him until the Day of Judgment. Because Allah is accepting the repentance of everyone. Okay? So, having this surah in this chapter, and he is the one mentioned by name in the Holy Quran, in the last chapter, which is mostly recited by the Muslims, this is, I think, a sign that he never reverted to Islam.
I think she was a different woman. She used to put things in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and then she became sick, and he went to visit her, and then she became Muslim. What was her name?
Actually, what I know is that, you know, there was one Jewish neighbor who was always putting trash on trash. This is the Jewish neighbor, you see. He was always putting trash in front of the house of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one day Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't find the trash. So he went to check about the man. So he was ill. This is his Jewish neighbor. He was a man. Yes, he was a man.
Okay.
Actually, a few days later, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to try again with his uncles. So at a feast was prepared in his house for all of his uncles. After he spoke to them and he said, I know of no Arab who has come to his people with a better message than mine. He is trying to encourage his uncles to listen to his message. So he is having that introduction that my message is the better one to hear. So please try to listen to me. He said to them, I have brought you the best news for this life and the life to come, that Allah has ordered me to call you to Him. So which of you will help me? He was trying to get their help so that they can support him, because these are his uncles and his relatives. All the men kept silent. None replied. Okay. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali his cousin, who was a young man, he said, O Prophet of Allah, I will help him. Okay? So this means that Ali ibn Abi Talib is the first young man to believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Ali said these words, the rest of the men got up and left again. You see, none listened to him. This is very important knowledge for us to know how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was suffering. You know, to go to the people and to stand on the mountain and to call them, his uncle is against him, and he said to him, "Perish," and none listened to him. Then again, he made a feast for them, and he tried to make them to listen to him. None of them listen, and none of them accept the message. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after all the men left, after all of them they got up and left, he was alone with Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was ready to help the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This means that the message of Islam was ignored by most of the people, but still Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to call the people to teach them the message of Islam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never feel despair from calling the people. He was insisting on calling the people. Whether they listen or not, he didn't care. Okay, but he was dedicated just to call. Keep on calling. And this is actually, sister, what we must learn while we are learning his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if you want to call the people to the right path, okay, don't have the goal that they must listen. Okay, this is not the goal, that they must listen, or they must change their behavior, or they must have the good manners, or they must improve their worship of Allah. No. Your goal is to keep on calling, okay? And then Allah the Almighty, at the proper time, He will support you and He will listen, inshallah. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in spite of all this ignorance by the people, he kept on calling them. Actually, those who believed in the message, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, they were very little number of the people. Some of the slaves believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam message. And actually, sister, this is something known about Islam. Islam is the religion of the poor and the weak. Okay, basically. Okay, the very sincere Muslims are mostly the weak and the poor. Okay, why? Because the very sincere human being is always looking for a power to support him. Okay, and Islam or the Quran is always giving you that power. Allah is the most powerful. Allah can do everything. Allah is the provider. Allah is the one who can take care of you. Allah is the one who can support you. So always the poor and the needy and the weak is in great need of this psychological support. Okay, and this was the case for the message of Islam from day one until today. Okay, when you look around, you will always notice that the most sincere, it is not the number, it is the sincerity, the depth in the heart regarding the belief in the message, okay, and the practice of the message is always related to the poor and the weak. And because of that, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the poor and the weak will enter the paradise with him 500 years before the rich people. Subhanallah. Just to know how Allah knows everything. Okay? And how Allah is rewarding, and His reward is very accurate. Okay? So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Those who believed in the message were the poor and the needy, and they were abused by those who don't believe. One day when the Prophet ﷺ was returning home speaking with his followers, he met Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl is another one. We have Abu Lahab, now we have another man, his name is Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl is a leader of Quraysh who hated the Prophet and his teaching. Okay, any leader of Quraysh, okay, equal hating the message of Islam, because the message of Islam was against their wealth and prestige. Okay, so before knowing anything about the message, they were against the message. Okay, Abu Jahl started to insult the Prophet immediately. As soon as they will see the Prophet, they will start insulting him and speaking to him badly about Islam. But the Prophet made no reply and he went on his way. Again and again, this is the lesson, sisters, okay, for everyone who is planning to call to Allah, or who is following the religion of Islam and believing in it, and he is very sincere to Allah. Whatever the people would say, the people are happy, not interested, okay, cooperative, not cooperative, this is none of my business. My business is to obey Allah. Okay, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made no reply. This is the lesson. If everyone tried to give you hard time, sometimes for me, I have, for example, a sister whom she will tell me, for example, Sister Mona, I didn't get any benefit from your classes. For example, she has the freedom of speech in America. This is the opportunity of freedom of speech. What I am supposed to tell her? I am supposed to remember Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, and to make no reply and to tell her, thank you very much, my dear sister. Allah will be the one to reward me. I tried my best. Maybe I failed to convey the message to you, my dear sincere sister. Okay, I apologize for your time. Okay, but this all, what can I do? For free. I'm doing this for free also. Okay, alhamdulillah. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on his way. And actually, sisters, when you have this, the sincerity of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your heart, you will not be looking for the reply of the people. You are just looking for the message in his heart and in his mind, was the message, the spread of the message. Okay, whether someone will treat him in a bad way, or be tough with him or harsh with him, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not caring for this at all, because his goal, all his heart and all his mind, equal to spreading the message of Islam for the sake of Allah. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, it was for most of the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the beginning of the message that they suffered the harsh treatment and the painful treatment, as most of them were poor or slaves who had no power. Okay, now we are learning about the suffering of the early Muslims. Okay, so that we will be all the time believing that when you believe in the truth, you must not worry for the price you pay for your belief. Okay, so long you know that this is the truth, I believe in the truth, people are not happy with me, people are not welcoming me, people are not accepting to be my friends, no problem. I am expecting the harsh treatment, the painful treatment, but I don't care for this. I care for the truth. I care for the message. Okay? And let us have an example of the harsh treatment which those early Muslims were exposed to. This is one of these, for example, one of these slaves was Bilal. Okay? Bilal was a slave. His master, who was a disbeliever, he would take Bilal to the desert. Okay? And he will tie him up. Yes. Tie him up. This number one. Number two, he will leave him in the sun. Number three, with a large stone on his chest. Why? Because the large stone will be very hot. Okay, and it is attached to his chest. And he is thrown in the desert, and he already tied him up. So that Bilal, okay, will leave Islam. He will say, yes, I can tolerate all this harsh treatment.
That's torture.
Yes, this is the torture, yes. This is what they were exposed to. Okay, many of them, they were exposed to this torture, okay, from the disbelievers. Okay, again, many of them were suffering, but all of them endured, it patiently, knowing that they are following the right path. So again and again, sister, these are the stories of the early Muslims, which all of us must all the time remember. When you follow the right path, when you follow the truth, okay, you must not care for the price. For example, suppose I have some friends, okay, or sisters, okay, and whenever I tell them, sisters, let us recite every day 1 hour, half an hour from the Quran, they start laughing. For example, oh, sister Mona, why every day Quran? We don't care for, you know, it is very difficult for us. What happened to you? Why you are always upset and sad and Quran all the time? What happened to you, sister Mona? You don't laugh, you don't like to laugh, you don't like life. This is not good. We are not happy with your behavior. We cannot be your friends. And this actually was happening to me many times in my life. Many people, they will just, you know, become away. They prefer to stay away. Because this is too much. Every day Quran, when they start to backbite other sisters, I will tell her, sister, don't backbite. They become very upset. No, you are not the best Muslim on the world. I didn't say I'm the best Muslim on the world. I just said, stop backbiting. Okay? No. I will keep on. She is not a good person. I'm not backbiting. I'm saying the truth. This is always here. This is her reality. I didn't backbite her at all. So, then next time, if you call that sister, she will never reply. She doesn't want to know me. She wants to say everything and she wants to backbite and everything. And no one is supposed to tell her, this is not accepted in Islam. You are losing your good deeds. You are a sinner. She will become very upset. So this is, you know, the same. Whenever you try to call the people to the right path or the truth, most of the people will be very upset with you. And most of the people will try to avoid you. And some of them may give you a hard time. Even. You know, you are calling them for what is good for them, they will try to give you hard time. Okay, so always try to remember Bilal. Okay, because no one suffered like Bilal and like those early Muslims, but they endured everything patiently. Why? Because they believe. You know, this is the power of the belief. Okay, let us keep on learning about the suffering of the early Muslims. Actually, the disbelievers, after they tried all, you know, the harsh treatment with the Muslims, they start to threaten the Prophet's uncle, Abu Talib. Okay? After the disbeliever realized that the new Muslims will never leave Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his message, so they went to his uncle Abu Talib and they told him, if Muhammad didn't stop calling people to Islam, we will fight both of you. Now it is a fight. Okay? And Abu Talib actually was very upset by this quarrel among the people of the tribe. This is the Arabs. Always the Arabs, they like the tribe to be, together. Okay? Not to have, different points of view or to fight together, because their power is in their unity. So if they lose your unity, they will lose their power. So Abu Talib was very upset, okay, by this quarrel among the people of the tribe, but he couldn't break his promise to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his nephew, to take care of him and not to allow those people to harm him. Actually, Abu Talib, the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the death of his grandfather, Okay, Abu Talib, he was one of the leaders of Quraysh. He said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he will take care of him and he will not allow them to harm him. But now and Abu Talib actually up to his death, he was not a believer. He didn't believe. Yes, Abu Talib didn't believe. And there is a verse of the Quran for Abu Talib. Allah sent a verse of the Quran regarding Abu Talib. Yes?
What does it say, the verse about Abu Talib?
Yes, I will give it to you now. Bismillah, if you want to know it now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let me finish the story of Abu Talib, but remind me now. I will mention to you because this is a very important also lesson regarding Abu Talib. So, the uncle Abu Talib sent for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told him what had happened. They will fight both of us because of your message. Okay? So he said to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spare me and spare yourself. Don't put a great burden on me that I can't bear. What can I do now? They will fight us. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he thought that his uncle might abandon him and that he would no longer have his support. Okay? But instead of this, what was the answer of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is a famous, very famous answer. Okay? He said to him, oh my uncle, by Allah, if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, in return for my giving up this message, I would not give it up until Allah makes truth victorious or I die in His service. You see, this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the reality of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even if they put the sun on his right hand and the moon on the right, on the other hand, this means that they can control life. Okay, because they are getting the sun and the moon, okay, and putting them on the right hand and the left hand, they are controlling and he can control. He said, no, I will never give up the message of Islam until it will be victorious or I will die. Okay, so his uncle Abu Talib was deeply touched by this answer. This means that there is no way. He will never change his mind. So he told his nephew, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would support him as long as he is alive. He will keep on supporting him, and he encouraged the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go on spreading Allah's message. Okay. Now let us have the verses of the Quran related to Abu Talib. But again, I need to clarify to you now that Abu Talib was a very sincere man with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He supported him. He took care of him. He didn't care for the tribe. Okay? But he cared for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was about to have a fight with all the leaders and he didn't care for this. This means that Abu Talib was a very good man. But Abu Talib didn't accept to become a Muslim. On the day of the death of Abu Talib, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing beside him. And he said to him, oh my uncle, just say, there is no God but Allah. There is no God but Allah. Prophet Muhammad was repeating, okay, the shahada for Abu Talib to say it while he was dying. At the same time, Abu Jahl and the leaders were in the room. And they were telling to Abu Talib, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. He is dying. He is leaving this world. And he didn't. So Allah sent this verse of the Quran, which you will read it now, because this is a lesson for everyone. Don't listen to the people, because most of the people are not following the truth. Okay? This is the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he said to him, just to say, there is no God but Allah, la ilaha illallah, you will be saved, my uncle. You will be saved, my uncle. He is in the bed of death. Okay? Sometimes I come to the masjid now, I hear maybe 6 or 7, and there are no sisters at all. You know? And I will record the class, and I will pray to thank Allah, and I will leave. That Allah send me. So to come to the masjid, you will not know, you know, how you are blessed, okay, while you are still in the worldly life. But when you will be on the day of judgment, you will find great mountain of good deeds. this is coming to the market. You see? But Allah, I am always mentioning to the sisters, you know, in Masjid Hamza, that when you come to the house of Allah, this means that Allah sent for you the invitation. And you accepted the invitation. There are 500,000 sisters, Muslims in Houston, Allah is sending for them the invitation. And they didn't get the invitation. This is what Allah is planning for them, not to come, not to enter His house. Because you cannot enter His house except by His permission. This is the house of Allah. Okay? So all the time when Allah will send you to the masjid, be extremely thankful to Allah for yourself. Okay? This is a message from Allah. I want to reward you. I want to give you a lot of reward. You are blessed today because you come to my house and you recite my book every letter with 10 good deeds. Okay? And you learn the knowledge. So inshallah you will be blessed. And this meeting will be an outlet for you from any hardship in this life and on the day of judgment. And believe me, sisters, I always feel very upset and sorry. Not upset because they didn't come and listen to me, because they didn't receive the reward. In the whole day, 24 hours, you will eat, you will drink, you will go out. All of these acts are lost. The only acts which will be left for you is your prayers and this meeting on Monday. That's it. Tomorrow, what you will receive? The sincere prayers, inshallah, and recitation. How you will have sincerity in prayers and recitation of the Quran if you are not pushed by a class like this?
But then one thing I wonder is that you have you get your sustenance from Allah, but then in the worldly life you have to go Monday to Friday. If you are single, or you even if your family, you have a husband, you still have, if you need, your family needs more, you still have to work. So how do you know when it's okay to hold on to the work or to come to the hour?
Yes, I tell you one thing. When Allah planned for you to come here, okay, this means that Allah wants to reward you and He will provide you. You know, in the Holy Quran, there is a verse that provision is in the heaven. Provision is not on the earth. All the means are on the earth. But to be provided, Allah must say, be. Okay? So you must believe that the provider is Allah. It is not the work. You can work and have, for example, $3,000. But Allah will make them.
That's very true.
You see, the apartment, the food, the car. And I always have problems with the car. Whatever I save, I lost in the car. Oh Allah, wow, what is my saving? Okay, you must believe in this. But when Allah plans for you to save, you will find a smaller apartment, 650. The car is excellent. Everything is all right. I am saving and saving and saving. Why? What is going on? What happens? Everything, you must believe in this. You know, and all my classes are around this statement. Every good thing is from Allah. It is not the work. It is not the husband. It is not anything. Okay? So, if you have the opportunity to come, forget about everything in this life. And while you are coming, always say to yourself, I am going to the house of the provider. And I am sure He will compensate for me for this hour. How? This is not our business as human beings.
What happens if you tell your boss, you work, for example, in Memorial.
Okay.
And you tell your boss, I will be out of the office for 2 hours.
Okay.
And then I'm going to attend. That's the only... In Houston, there's not many
halakha. Saha, yes.
You can go on YouTube and listen, but this is very organized.
I agree with
you. So you do tell your boss, but then you feel like you're uncertain about how he feels about it. And most people are there, so it's unfair to the rest of the people for you to be taking some time off and go away. But at the same time, you know that this is one of the only way you can stay on the path.
I agree with you. I tell you one thing. say to your boss that I will compensate these 2 hours. Not 2 hours. I will compensate these 2 hours by 4 hours. Every day I will stay, or I will come early 1 hour. Okay? Just let him be satisfied that you are not escaping or wasting 2 hours from the work. No. You are sincere. You need to go to the class. But I am an honest person. If I didn't work 2 hours, I will compensate them by 4 hours. If you just say to him these words, he will tell you go. You know why? Because he will know that you are an honest person. Okay, this is number one. Number two, I want to tell you one thing. The provider is Allah. You can work day and night in your job, and then Allah will plan for, this firing. The whole company. Not you. Everyone. The boss. So forget about the provision. Completely. Don't think of the provision at all. Just call on Allah. Oh Allah, I need this and this and that. Oh Allah, I am in need of this and this and that. And you are the provider. And I am trying my best. I will obey you. Because I believe in you. And I believe that you are a provider. And you promised that if I am trying my best regarding obeying you, you will take care of me. And you will help me. This is my way of life, oh Allah. Keep on sending this message of belief to Allah. And you will not be imagining what Allah will do with you. Okay? Let us read now the verse which is related to Abu Talib. Just a minute, because I will get it for you from this Quran. Yes, alhamdulillah. See, I find it. The verse of the Quran which is related to Abu Talib is in Surah number 28, Surah number 28, verse number 65. Actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he tried his best with his uncle to say, I believe in there is no God but Allah, that is to say, to become a Muslim before his death, but he died while he didn't believe. So Prophet Muhammad was very upset. Okay, so Allah sent this verse to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to calm him down regarding his uncle. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt, walakin Allah yahdi. 56. Okay. Surah number 28, verse number 56. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن شاء الله we will recite again with Abu Talib. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم from Surah number 28 verse number 56. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وهو أعلم بالمهتدين.
Indeed, O Muhammad, you do not guide whom you like, but Allah guides whom He wills, and He is the most knowing of the rightly guided.
So actually, here this is the proof from the Holy Quran that even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved servant to Allah, okay, Allah didn't give him, the will to choose whom to be guided. Allah said to him, you don't guide whom you like. It is not up to you. Okay? But Allah guides whom He wills. So it is up to the will of Allah. Okay, guidance is up to the will of Allah. Okay, Abu Talib was not guided. Okay, accordingly, Abu Talib would be the one to be the least punished in the hellfire. Allah will put for him fire on his feet, which will burn his head. This is the least punishment in the hellfire. It is for Abu Talib. Because of his support to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave him the least punishment. So that we can imagine what is the punishment of the disbeliever in the hellfire. Okay? But he didn't believe in Islam. So this is regarding Abu Talib. Okay? And actually, to continue about the harsh treatment and the painful treatment which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Muslims were exposed, we will recite now from the Holy Quran what Allah mentioned about this period of suffering, rejection and objection which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had faced with the early Muslims. We will recite now from Surah number 25, verse number 4 and 5 and 7 and 8. Surah number 25, Surah Al-Furqan. Actually, sisters, we are learning these verses of the Quran in order to try to feel how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was suffering, okay, for the sake of us, for the sake of the message, for the sake of Allah, so that you always feel that you love him more than yourself, because he was the one who suffered for your sake to become a Muslim regarding the message of Islam. Surah number 25, verse number from verse 4 to verse 9. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 25, we will start with verse 4. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa qala alladhina kafaru in hadha illa ifkun, in hadha illa ifkun iftarahu wa a'anahu alayhi qawmun akharun, faqad ja'u zulman wa zura, wa qalu asatirul awwalin iktatabaha fahiya tumla alayhi buk وأصيلا. قل أنزله الذي يعلم السر في السماوات والأرض إنه كان غفورا رحيما. وقالوا ما لهذا الرسول يأكل الطعام ويمشي في الأسواق لولا أنزل إليه ملك فيكون معه نذيرا أو يلقى إليه كنز أو تكون له جنة يأكل منها. وقال الظالمون إن تتبعون إلا رجلا مسحورا. انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال فضلوا فلا يستطيعون سبيلا.
And those who disbelieve say, this Quran does not accept a falsehood he invented, and another people assisted him in it. But they have committed an injustice and a lie, and they say legends of the former peoples which he has written down, and they are dictated to him a morning and afternoon. Say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it has been revealed by he who knows every secret within the heavens and the earth. Indeed, he is ever forgiving and merciful. And say, what is this messenger?
And they say.
Oh, and they say, what is this messenger that eats food and walks in the markets? Why was there not sit down to him an angel, so he would be with him a warner? Or why is not the treasure presented to him from heaven? Or does he not have a garden from which he eats? And the wrongdoers say, you follow not but a man affected by magic. Look how they strike for you comparisons, but they have strayed, so they cannot find a way.
Actually, sisters, from this verse of the Quran, okay, we can learn that the unbelievers of Quraysh, who were motivated by their social status, they made false allegations against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran that could be accepted by ordinary people. They claimed that the Quran was nothing but a lie that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had invented, and other people assisted him in it. Another example of their false allegations against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Holy Quran is that they said the verses of the Quran were tales of the former peoples which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had written down. Actually, those liars forget that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was illiterate. That is to say, he was unable to read. So how come he will be the one to write and he will be the one, you know, as he was saying here, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the one to, that he was the one who had written down the Holy Quran. Okay, this means that they are liars because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was unable to read or to write. Actually, Allah the Almighty replied in verse 6 regarding these false allegations when he said to them, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that the Quran has been revealed by the one, by Allah, who knows every secret within the heavens and the earth. It was not written by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those whom they assisted him, as the disbelievers said. Again, the disbelievers in verse 7 and 8, they focused on two objections against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one, they wondered why he ate food and he was going about the streets and the marketplaces. Why? If he was a prophet from the heaven, he is not supposed. Okay, he must be living a different life. But the answer is that it is the divine wisdom that determines the sending of a human messenger to a human community so that he shares their feelings, hopes and sorrows. He knows their needs and limitations, so he understands their weaknesses and their strengths and leads them along the way step by step, guiding them to the right path. How you can guide people whom you have a different nature from them? How the angel can guide the human beings? Okay, Allah is sending a human being to the human being because he is created from the same nature. He knows their weaknesses, he knows their hopes, so he can guide them because he understands their nature. He is part of them, he is the same like them. Allah's messengers were all human beings, okay? Not angels, so that they can be role models for other people to follow them in their belief and the way of life, and so to guide them to worship Allah the Almighty. Had God's messengers been angels, they would not, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, people will not be able to know how they think or to follow them. Okay? So Allah is sending for human beings as angels so that they can follow them. Also those disbelievers, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, were questioning why the messenger didn't have a treasure or a garden. Why he is supposed to work? Why Allah didn't provide him without working? Okay? Because Allah wanted him, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be perfect example to be followed by his community. That is to say, to be able to fulfill the great task of delivering his message while he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked earning a living at the same time. It is right then that every person will follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I can worship Allah, I can call to Allah, and at the same time I must work to earn my living. Okay, the Prophet is not supposed just to call to Allah and not to work to earn the living, because he is the role model for everyone. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The verse then refers to another false accusation. That is to say, the Prophet was bewitched, or he said that he is affected by witches. Okay? The answer is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the truthworthy. He was the best mannered man in Mecca, so he was not the one to be affected by a magic. In conclusion, those disbelievers had missed every way, every road that leads to the truth, and they were left in error. Okay? So now we will stop here. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Or we can have other verses of the Quran so that we will stop that. We will finish that chapter of suffering. We will read again about the false accusations which were mentioned in the Holy Quran regarding those disbelievers, what they were saying to Prophet Muhammad about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will recite now from Surah number 38, verse number 4. Let us finish today, inshallah, about the suffering and the harsh treatment and the painful treatment which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was facing and his followers, the early Muslims at that time. We will recite now from Surah number 38, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Sad, verse number 4, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم وقال الكافرون هذا ساحر كذاب.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And they wondered that there had come to them a warner, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from among themselves. And the disbelievers say, this is a magician and a liar.
See, all the time, magician lied, but he never reply. We will recite again from Surah number 17, verse number 47. Allah is mentioning in many verses of the Quran about the suffering of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whenever we recite the Holy Quran, we will remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his suffering. And this, inshallah, will always make us to follow his way. Okay, Surah number 17, Bismillah, as he suffered for our sake, we must follow his way. Surah number 17, verse number 47, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. نحن أعلم بما يستمعون به إذ يستمعون إليك وإذ هم نجوى إذ يقول الظالمون إن تتبعون إلا رجلا مسحورا.
We are most knowing in how they listen to it when they listen to you of when they are in private conversation. When the wrongdoers say, you follow not but a man affected by a magic.
Magic life. Okay. Now, sisters, let us read from Surah number 68, verse number 51. To know about the hatred of the disbelievers regarding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another fall of the harsh treatment to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah number 68, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah Al-Qalam, verse number 51. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن يكاد الذين كفروا ليزلقونك بأبصارهم لما سمعوا الذكر ويقولون إنه لمجنون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And indeed those who believe disbelieve will almost make you sleep with their eyes when they hear the message, and they say, indeed, he is mad.
Okay. So actually, their looks, the looks of those disbelievers, which were full of hatred and revenge, almost affected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so as to make him lose his balance. Actually, sisters, these were the looks that boil with anger. Okay, when you look to someone, this the mean is like this. Okay, and they focused on him so that he lost balance. Okay, when you look with a heart full of hatred, yeah, to someone, you know, he will lose your balance. What is going on? Okay, so they were all the time looking to him with this look, with this kind of looks, which were full of hatred, actually. And actually, their looks added to this, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, their hearts were full of hatred, and their looks also were full of hatred. Okay, so they were totally against him, and at the end they always say that he was surely mad. Okay, so this fourth allegation regarding Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned in many verses of the Holy Quran to remind us about his great suffering and how he tolerated all of this with patience for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will recite now again from Surah number 26, verse number 27. Let us revise many of the verses of the Holy Quran regarding the suffering of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is a very important period of his life which we must always remember and appreciate. Surah number 26, Surah Al-Shu'ara, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now we will recite from Surah number 26, Surah Al-Shu'ara, to number 27. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال إن رسولكم الذي أرسل إليكم لمجنون. Okay. Or I tell you, sister, let us move to another verse. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will recite from Surah الصافات, Surah number 37, so that we will have more clear knowledge or information. We will recite from Surah number 37. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Surah الصافات, verse number 35 and 36. This will give us more clear image about how they treated him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very badly. Surah number 37, verse number 35 and 36. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Surah الصافات, 35 and 36. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنهم كانوا إذا قيل لهم لا إله إلا الله يستكبرون ويقولون إنا لتاركوا آلهتنا لشاعر مجنون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Indeed, they, when it was said to them, there is no deity but Allah, were arrogant and were saying, are we to leave our gods for a mad poet?
We will recite again, sister, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, from Surah number 44, verse number 13 and 14. Surah number 44, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, verse number 13 and 14. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أن لهم الذكرى وقد جاءهم رسول مبين ثم تولوا عنه وقالوا معلم مجنون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. How will they be for them a reminder at that time? And they had come to them a clear messenger. Then they turned away from him and say, he was taught and he is a madman.
Actually, Allah the Almighty answered all these disbelievers that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not mad, but he is a noble messenger. We will recite now from Surah number 81. We will recite from Surah number 81, verse number 19. We will recite from verse 19 to verse 29. Allah is replying to all these disbelievers in the Holy Quran in Surah number 81 from verse number 19 to verse number 29. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنه لقول رسول كريم ذي قوة عند ذي العرش مكين مطاع ثم أمين وما صاحبكم بمجنون ولقد رآه بالأفق المبين وما هو على الغيب بضنين وما هو بقول شيطان رجيم فأين تذهبون إن هو إلا ذكر للعالمين لمن شاء منكم أن يستقيم وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله رب العالمين.
That indeed it, the Quran, is a word conveyed by a noble messenger, Jibreel, who is possessed of power and with the owner of the throne secure in position, obeyed there in the heavens and trustworthy. And your companion, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, is not all mad, and he has already seen him, Jibreel, in the clear horizon. And he, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not a withholder of knowledge of the unseen, and that the Quran is not the word of a devil expelled from the heavens. So where are you going? Is it not except a reminder to the worlds? For whoever wills among you to take a right course, and ye do not will except that Allah wills, Lord of the worlds.
So inshallah, sister, we will stop here. Alhamdulillah, we learned that Allah the Almighty, He sent these verses of the Quran to answer for those whom they said about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he was a mad man, or he was a liar, or he was a magician. Allah answered them, and Allah clarified that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not mad, he is not a magician. He saw Angel Jibreel in the clear horizon, and we will learn more and more about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his life inshallah in the coming classes. And let us now make the dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.